Good day, and welcome to the Division I Academic Performance Program Conference Call, GSR and other APP updates. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Bin Nguyen. Please go ahead.
Thanks, James, and welcome everyone to this teleconference on the Division I Academic Performance Program, specifically for the graduation success rate, Fed grad rate, as well as the head coach's APR portfolio. Presenting with me today also will be Maria DiGiulio as well as Jeremiah Carter. The purpose of today's call is twofold. One is to go over the new graduation rates data collection portal, which Maria will go over. We encourage you to log in to the data collection portal with your institution's login information, which may be helpful as Maria walks through the portal. Then we will move on to the head coach's APR portfolio, which will be presented by Jeremiah. After our staff has presented, there will be time at the end for questions. That is our agenda for today's call. Starting off with the GSR and federal graduation rate data, many of you know that we have a new portal to collect this year's data, with APR data being imported from the APP data collection system for the 03-04 cohort, which is this year's reporting cohort. This will be the first time we will be able to identify graduates at the student athlete level. For those that have already been into the system, we hope that it's easy to use. For those who haven't, Maria, we'll go through the portal and point out some helpful tips for you to use. Also, if you have some time, we encourage you to read the question and answer document as well as the technical instructions that are available within the portal that will be very helpful as you do start your data collection. It has the FAQ question and answer document has been updated and has been posted in the portal as well as on LSDBI. Before I turn it over to Maria, I want to remind you that the due date for your graduation data is June 1. Those that fail to submit their data by this deadline will render their institutions as well as individuals, teams, ineligible for championships. If necessary, we do have the option for an extension that can be requested through LSDBI, and it does require the signature of your president or chancellor. Further, as you start your work in the new data collection portal, if there are any questions, feedbacks, improvements, or enhancements that you feel would be helpful, please send them on to me or Maria. This time, I will turn it over to Maria.
Thank you very much, Ben, and welcome everyone, and good morning or good afternoon, depending upon where you are sitting. I am going to go through the new graduation rates data collection system, and by now I hope that you have all logged in if you're in front of your computer or at least have looked at the system. To reiterate what Ben was saying, the deadline for submitting your data is June the 1st, so please don't wait until May 31st to start working on this, especially as I look at the calendar and May 31st is a holiday, which is Memorial Day. So I do advise you to get started working on it, and I would also like to thank the institutions that tested the system for us over the winter and spring to get this ready to go. So if you're all logged in, I want to go through tab by tab, individual item by individual item, so you can familiarize yourself and hopefully answer any questions you may have ahead of time. The first tab to look at is the help instructions. After you log in, you will notice your institution name does show on the opening page. The help instructions does have the FAQs and the technical instructions, and as Ben said, they have been updated, and we really want you to look at those. That should answer the majority of questions that you will have regarding specific situations you may have with a student athlete and also how to work through the new system. The next tab over is the contact info tab. If you would please complete this information, it is put in your name, phone number, and email, or the individual who will be working in the system. This is one of the ways that we will be contacting you After you submit your information, you'll get an email stating that your data have been submitted and the reports are available. Also, throughout the year, if we have any new information to send to you regarding graduation rates, we will be sending it to you via email. So it is important that we do have your contact information. The next tab over is actually the one that you will probably use the most, is the data collection slash import tab. And if you click on that, there are two sections. The first is detail, and the second is the import. As in the past, your student body graduation rate and your enrollment data will be entered manually. So if you click on the student body graduation page, you will see boxes coming up for the men and the women, enrolled, graduated, exclusions, and transfer out, and the various ethnicities, and you will just simply need to enter the numbers as you have done so in the past. The transfer out column is not necessary. The Department of Education does collect this data, but we do not. If your institution wishes to put figures there, they can. Going back, the enrollment data is the same thing. The first column is for student body, and the subsequent columns are for the individual sports, football, basketball, baseball, cross country, track, and other, and the student athletes will total at the end. Keep in mind that this enrollment information is for the 09-10 academic year, and it is for your entire enrollment, not just freshmen. So make sure you do put your in full-time undergraduate enrollment data in that page. The most important information that you're probably all on the line for is your student-athlete graduation success rate in page. And if you click on that, you will see that the individual sports will come up, but the most important is to import your data. So if you go down to the import from app/ATS/text file, you will see the import screen come up. If you have data in APP for the 2003 cohort year, you will just simply copy your records from APP/ATS, and they will magically go in the specific sport and the specific categories, meaning freshmen, fall freshmen who received aid, mid-year freshmen who received aid, your transfers from a two-year and a four-year school, and then if your institution does not offer athletics aid or has a sport in which aid is not granted, your non-scholarship freshmen. The numbers will appear in the enrolled column. If you do not have data in APP for the 2003 cohort, you will have to import your students with a text file or a flat file. And at the bottom of the import screen, you will see various links on how to do so with sample files, a format, instructions, sport codes. If you use Compliance Assistant in our Division II school, and even though you sponsor Division I sport, there's information on how to get some of the variables from Compliance Assistant into a file. That is the import information. If you have questions, if you have to import with a flat file and have questions, give me a call or send me an email afterwards and we can go over it individually. The most important thing, let's look at one sport, which is the student athlete graduation success rate data. And you can pick a sport if you've already entered data. If not, a blank screen will come up. You're going to want to make sure that you look at each individual sport, and like I said, if you've imported successfully from AAPP, numbers will appear in the enrolled column for each sport. Select your first sport, click on a number that is greater than zero, and a list will come up with the student athletes that are in that cohort for that particular sport. They will have first name. And then you're going to want to click on an individual student's name. When you click on the name, a detail screen will show up showing the GSR ASR ID, the initial enrollment of 2003, the student's first name, the student's last name, their gender will have a radio button selected, their ethnicity will be there, as well as their sport. What you need to do now is choose their final result. And there will be a drop-down box for the final result, and there are four choices: enrolled, which is the default, graduated. Student has to graduate by August of 2009 in order to have this selection. Exclusion, which is an allowable exclusion. The allowable exclusions for GSR are these: the student died or became permanently disabled and was unable to attend your institution. The student left your institution to attend a church mission. The student left your institution to serve in a foreign service organization such as the Peace Corps. And last, the student left your institution to serve in military service. The difference between APR and GSR is pregnancy and Olympic waivers are not allowable exclusions. So you will have to, those are the only four ways that you can mark a student as being an allowable exclusion. The last item is left eligible, which are those students who had athletics eligibility remaining, left your institution prior to graduation, and would have been academically eligible to compete had they stayed at your institution. One of the nice things about this drop-down box is a student can no longer have multiple outcomes, which has happened in the past. They have to have an outcome, either graduated, exclusion, left eligible, or if they don't fall in any of those three categories, you leave them as enrolled. Clicking on the summary page will take you back to the sport, and you can work on the next student with his or her outcome. Once you're done, you're going to want to make sure that you save the data and move on to the next sport. Questions that I get: what if we have a difference in there's a discrepancy between APR, GSR, some incorrect data, a student didn't come over who should have, a student was forgotten in APR. Ethnicities can be changed in GSR easily. Just switch the ethnicity, making sure that it is correct. If a change has to be done to both APR and GSR where a student is marked incorrectly regarding transfer, is a two-year school rather than a four-year school or vice versa, or a student was omitted in APR as opposed to GSR and then they were not subsequently pulled over, we're going to ask that you submit your data first and then we will add them to APR after June 1st and then re-import into GSR. This means that you have submitted your data and we will just make the corrections during the GSR correction time period, just as we have been for the past 20 years during that window of making corrections. When you see a discrepancy, you have incorrect data, don't get click happy. Take a deep breath, take a look at your APR, making sure they're in APR correctly, check your squad list as well, and then we'll work on it together. There is a change this year regarding transfer placement into a freshman cohort. In the past, transfers were placed in the cohort based upon the number of credits that you accepted from the previous school or schools, your institution standards for class placement, whether 24 credits meant a freshman or a sophomore or whatever, and then you would place the transfers in the appropriate freshman class. Beginning with this year's GSR collection, transfers are now going to be placed in a cohort based upon their first year as a full-time student at any institution. So it is the corresponding first year any in APR. So anyone that has a first year any in APR of 03-04 is going to be imported into GSR. If you have a multi-sport athlete in APR and you have, say, they receive aid for football, but they also run outdoor track in the spring, and they're also came over as a non-scholarship athlete, you are going to want to make sure that you delete that non-scholarship record because athletes can only show up in GSR under one sport at one time. If you will notice in the system, there's no longer any exhausted eligibility collection. That item has been eliminated from the collection, and we will no longer collect it. Going over to the next tab, it's View Data, and it basically just lets you look at the screens without the ability of making any changes to your data. This screen, this tab actually, will come in handy after you submit your data because you'll still be able to look at your data after you have submitted. The next tab is the Reports tab. You have your institutional report and your GSR page. If you click on Export page, you'll see you'll be able to export your data that you've submitted in an Excel format. They'll have the Presidential Signature page, and then information on how to verify and review your reports broken out by the division. Please note that while you'll be able to review some data on your reports, your institutional report and your GSR report, as you are completing your data, the reports do not become final and they don't completely run until after you hit your submit button. Speaking of submit, we'll go over to that. Your submit button, when you click on that, it will ask you if you want to submit. You will hit submit, and then it will come up one more time, one more last check. Are you sure that you want to submit your data, yes or no? Once you submit, your data are locked. They are submitted. You will get an email letting you know that your data has been submitted, and you will be able to look at your reports. Also, once you submit, that data collection slash import tab will no longer be available. So you can look at your data under the View Data tab. And the last button, of course, is log out. And by clicking on that, you will log out of the system. I believe that's all that I have for right now. I'm going to turn it back over to Ben.
Thanks, Maria. We will move on to the head coach's APR portfolio, and Jeremiah Carter will provide an update on the head coach's APR portfolio. I will turn the call over to Jeremiah.
Thank you, Ben. I'd like to take the opportunity to preview what the next couple of months are going to look like with the head coach's APR portfolio. Specifically, we're going to talk about the head coach's opportunity to review, which is going to be the next item that comes up this year. Then what to expect with data collection for this year. And lastly, talk about the rollout of the public website, which hopefully everybody has heard about and is prepared for. In discussing the head coach's opportunity to review, the overall goal of this is to provide the most accurate information possible once the public website rolls out. In addition to that, we also want to be as fair to the coaches as we can be. And this entails giving them an opportunity to review the information that is reported about them from institutions. Hopefully this call will give you a foundation, will allow institutional staff members to help current coaches through the system if necessary. In addition to that, we want you to know what to expect if former coaches are contacting your institution with questions. The coach's opportunity to review is going to be a password-protected website that's rolling out later this month and at the latest in early May. Coaches are going to receive two emails from the NCAA staff. The first one is going to be used to check the email addresses that we have on file for Division I head coaches. These emails were email addresses were received and reported during the sports sponsorship reporting last fall, concluding last September. If we don't have an email address for a head coach, they are going to be able to contact us, and there's a PDF form which they can fill out and return to us, and at that point we will send them their login information. This is available for each and every Division I head coach in the sports that are going to be reported this year. After the initial email goes out, checking for the appropriate email addresses for the head coaches, they will receive a second email which will contain a link to the website and a temporary username and password for them to log in with. Once the head coaches follow this link and log in with their temporary username and password, they will be provided the opportunity to create their own username and unique password. Once on the website, they're going to be able to change their email address to whatever they would like, a personal email address if necessary. They're also going to have the opportunity to request a spelling change if the name is either not the name that they want to appear as far as a nickname is concerned, or if there's a misspelling. And lastly, they're going to be able to see the information that was reported about them, including the employment start and end dates, that includes month and year, that was reported about them. Once logged in, if a head coach believes that the information reported about them is incorrect, they're going to be directed to contact the institution that reported the information. The reason that this is the direction is because the NCAA staff does not have the ability to independently verify the accuracy of the month and year start and end date that's being reported by the institution. If the institution determines that what's previously been reported is incorrect, then the institution will be responsible for contacting the NCAA staff or making the change during APP-APC data collection. The secure website will be available to coaches at all times after it launches, and they will be notified via the system before the public website is released. Moving on to the data collection for this year, as those of you who entered data last year know that there was a six-sport pilot program, which included football, men's and women's basketball, baseball, and women's indoor and outdoor track and field. This year, that program has been expanded to include all NCAA Division I sponsored sports. The experience is going to be similar to last year. We are asking for the same information, just expanded to the additional sports. We will require that institutions report out the historical information dating back to the 2003-04 year for each of their head coaches in the identified sports. In addition, they're going to be required to update the six pilot sports that they entered last year with the most recent year's data. Like last year, the information is going to be pre-populated with what we already have internally. The most recent year's data, for example, for men's football, it will have been updated based on what was provided on the sports sponsorship form. So in the future, if you keep those forms, if you keep sports sponsorship updated, the changes to the head coaching will already be made within the APT system. The last issue I'd like to talk about is the release of the public website. The launch is scheduled to occur in mid-summer this year for the six sports in the pilot program that were identified earlier. It's going to be after all NCAA championships have concluded for this year. And as I mentioned before, head coaches will be notified prior to the release of this information so that they are aware that it is coming out. A couple of resources for you. There's an updated question and answer document that's posted on the CAP website along with additional instructions and updated instructions for data entry. Lastly, you can email any questions you have to headcoachapr@ncaa.org, or you can call me with any questions. Thanks, and I'll turn it back over to Ben.
This time, I'd like to invite the operator back on to explain the question and answer process.
Thank you, Ms. Nguyen. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that's star 1 if you have a question. We'll take our first question from Jody Sykes with University of Louisville.
Thanks. Hi, guys. Appreciate the presentation. Just a quick question for Maria about something she said on the transfer cohort. I just want to make sure that I understand. We are to now do the transfer cohorts based on first enrollment full-time at any institution instead of doing it based on the credits that transferred to our institutions. Is that correct?
That is correct, Jody.
Okay, and then so do you want us to go back, like, for example, if I had a student that, based on the new way, should have been in the 02-03 cohort, do you want us to go back and put them into that cohort or just ignore them?
Just ignore them.
Okay, so I just need to take my kids that entered in fall of 03 anywhere and to put them into, if they were transferred here later on, and put them into the appropriate cohort.
Yes, and actually APR should do that for you if their record in APR is correct.
Perfect. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Next, we'll hear from Kimberly Marsh with Temple University.
Hello. Thank you for the presentation. I was trying to click on the technical instructions from the help instructions page and kept getting an error, not being able to view it. And I think it's because it's a .docx file, and for some reason I don't have that software. Is
Kim,
there a way?
Kim, it's Maria. Why don't you send me an email, and I will respond back and send you the document in the previous version of Word.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Next, we hear from Dan Bartholomew with University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, thanks for the presentation, guys. I had just a clarification on the head coach APR. Are we correct that the way these scores are going to be reported for the head coaches are essentially just going to be their single year APR for the team that they were coaching, during that year since 03-04?
That's correct, Dan. It will be reported out for single year APRs only. There's not going to be the multi-year associated specifically with that head coach.
So basically we're going to publicly release multi-year rates and single-year rates from now on?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Next, we hear from Richard Turner with University of Arkansas.
Hi. This question is for Maria. Actually, it's twofold. I understand that we're no longer providing data for exhausted eligibility rates. I assume that means we're no longer going to report the 10-year rolling rate. Is that true?
Hi, Richard. Yes, it is. Correct.
Okay. And this is from my AD. Is there any real use for the federal methodology for graduation rates, and is there any discussion about distancing ourselves from that? We've done a great job with GSR and APR and all the other information that we provide, but is there any practical use for that federal methodology?
Until Congress changes the law, yes. Don't forget, schools are required to report their federal graduation rates for both their student body and their student athletes who receive athletics aid. And you're supposed to release them every year and make them public. The Department of Education, while they're not collecting the student-athlete federal rate, are leaving it up to the institutions and the athletics organizations to do so. So if you don't report the federal rate and it is not published, then your institution is actually breaking federal law.
Thank you.
So talk to your congressman.
Yeah. Thank you. We will.
We'll move on to John Wallace with the University of Idaho.
Hello, it's actually Archie George. I'm here with John. Two questions. One comment. We get that document error, too, and you just hit OK a couple of times, and then it comes right up. So that might be a fairly common experience. And the second thing is I sent Maria an email asking, we had four athletes that were technically part-time. They had, a full-time for fee-paying, but 10 credits instead of 12, for example, on the fall 10th day for our current, that fall enrollment and the athletes. And Maria just said to leave those out. We need to only count the full-time census and the sports for those students that were in that first column. But is there any connection between that and the APR rate that will be calculated for students that are either reported or not on that one page, that first report that we're doing now.
Archie, the enrollment section is just that. It is just students who are enrolled at your institution, and they have to be full-time undergraduate students for you to put them on that page. It is just simply a snapshot of who is at your institution full-time for 09-10.
Right. So there's no connection between whether they're going to be included in the APR either for that starting cohort or any other. That's a whole set of more subtle rules.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Julie Sandoval with UC Santa Barbara.
Good morning out here. How are you all? I just had a question, a technical question about the sports code for men's track and women's track is not the same as the sports code that we use in everything else. So we were having a problem with the data importing.
You're doing a flat file?
Yes.
The sport code for track should be MTR for men and WTR for women.
And that's not the sports code that we use in any other of our information that we have, right? CAI uses...
I don't know what's used in CAI.
Yeah.
I just go by what the programmer tells me.
Okay. I just want to let you know that it's not the same.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Lori Brees with Arizona State University has our next question.
Actually, it's Gene Boyd with ASU. I'm here with Lori. The question was regarding the reassignment of the transfers and the way that they're being counted now. And I suppose what may be a concern for some institutions may not be for others, depending upon how your cohort edit had been preassembled, if you're keeping track, was done. But I guess the question I have is, for example, we have three student athletes in the sport of football who would have been counted in this cohort who are now going to disappear in the space and never be counted either forward or back. Has there been any consideration to the individuals who are kind of getting lost in this transition? And I suppose people could be concerned that, you know, some hard work is put into elevated graduation rates and so forth, and then some of your work goes awry. Now, some other people could maybe have lost more points from those individuals and might be happy about this, but just wondering if there was consideration about that.
I'll start off. This is Maria. We looked at a number of different scenarios, and one of the issues that we found was that institutions were not placing the transfers correctly into the cohort. Some were doing it based upon when they transferred to their institution. Some were already doing it based upon when they started at the first school. There was no consistency regarding transfer placement throughout the membership, and we found this out through the data reviews that we've been doing the past couple of years. So we had to come up with a system whereby everybody was doing it correctly and doing it the right way. And with this rollover from APR, it seemed to be the most, I don't want to say easiest the way, but the most consistent way to bring students over without schools having to make a lot of changes between the two systems. I don't know if there's anyone, Ben or anyone else, who wants to go further on this, but that was our original finding.
Maria, I think you nailed it on the head. The committee did take a look at how this would affect graduates and the reporting of this data. However, the committee put a line in the sand and at that time was going to make this rollover at that time and moving forward. So that's where the committee came out on it. We knew that there were going to be concerns with graduates who may have been lost, but hopefully with this policy moving forward, all the institutions are on the same page with the same policy, and as you mentioned, to reduce any confusion among the membership, placing them in the wrong cohort and so forth.
Lori, do you have anything further?
Oh, sorry. I suppose my only other question would be, then, was there consideration given to those individuals being reassigned into their proper cohorts? There's not a ton of them. I would imagine at any institution you're probably talking about between 10 and 20 at any given place. It just seems unfair that those individuals are just done away with and not perhaps reassigned to the proper, you know, to the proper cohorts that they should have been in.
We can certainly take that back to the committee for consideration at either the April or June meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Molly Sullivan with University of Illinois.
This is actually George Munley with Molly and Denny Wills, but this is an item for Maria, and I was just wondering what was the thinking in getting rid of the exhausted eligibility piece, which used to be pretty useful to us.
Hello, George. The reason, there were a number of reasons, but again, it came back to similar to the transfer piece, consistency and the way institutions were reporting their data. Over the past number of years, we have found that there were a number of institutions who were not updating the numbers or even reporting it correctly. They would just simply repeat the same numbers year after year after year and never update their graduates. And when I would ask them, didn't even know that they were supposed to. So going back, talking with the committee, and originally this exhausted eligibility rate was the precursor to GSR, though it was never collected, it's never has been collected as by sport, by individual, by gender. It's just one flat rate. And with the addition, the rollover from APR, as well as the numbers not being reported correctly by institutions, we just felt that something had to give, and this was one of the items that did give. And I'm not sure how useful it is to the general public either. So it was a decision that was made.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Trevor White with Arkansas State University has our next question.
Good afternoon. This question is for Maria. I just want to clarify something you said early in the presentation. Did you say that if we found discrepancies between the APP data and our own institutional data, that we are not to make the corrections and submit and wait until after to make corrections as far as like adding someone to the cohort or deleting students?
Trevor, that is correct. And the reason why is APR right now is actually closed until we make the data public. And going back to the original intent of this rollover was to be able to match the APR students listed there with the GSR collection. So now we can actually put the APR information and match it with the GSR collection. And if we make a change in GSR without APR, there's no connection made. So what we are doing is we are asking institutions right now to start making a list of the discrepancies, submit your data, and during the next month or so afterwards, when we have the window open to make GSR corrections, which, again, has not changed for almost 20 years, this is the point where we will make the change in APR and then re-import into GSR so we do have matching records.
If I can follow up, we went ahead and followed the technical instructions and took care of that already as far as adding a student and deleting a couple that were incorrect based on incorrect data in our APP data. So we've already gone ahead with that step. I don't know if that's reversible prior to submission.
Deleting a student will not be an issue because that can be done. Adding the student, you can do it, but we would like to get them into APR, so why don't you give me a call afterwards and we can go over that.
Okay, thank you.
Next we'll hear from Christine Roller with Cleveland State University.
Hi, this is for Jeremiah. I understand that you're going to be sending out the three emails to the coaches, the one to for their email, check their email, and then for them to get the link to the webpage and review it, and then for the final notification of the rollout. But will the administrators also have an opportunity to review that, or are we solely reliant on our head coaches to review that with us? Will we be able to review it before it gets rolled out? Because we are the administrators that have put that information in.
Well, the information that's in there for each individual head coach is just the information that you supplied last year via the APP system. So that is not going to change as the APP system is opened up in May. The information that's on there is what has been reported about each and every head coach for those six sports from last year. So as far as opening up a password-protected website, as far as opening that up to administrators, with having the APP system, that it kind of duplicates the function. Am I understanding your question correctly?
I believe so. So we're not going to be notified. Athletic directors, anyone will not be notified when the coaches are notified. It will be solely responsible for the coaches to review that. For their own.
Well, the coaches are responsible to review their own information. Now, this information has already been reported by your institution last year, so we're not providing you an additional opportunity to review the information that you've already supplied except through the APP system. The single-year APR scores are the only additional information that's going to be on that website, and that's something also that you should already have access to. We will put out notification prior to launching the public website, so you will have the obviously have the heads up on that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Jill Shields with Kansas State Athletics.
Hello, this is actually Sandy Lum. I'm sitting with Jill Shields. I have a question for Maria. After we've submitted the data, when we're looking at the view data, we'll no longer be able to see the names. Is that correct? I noticed there's not a link. And then will the names be viewable in another report?
Hi, Sandy. That is correct. The view data will only show the figures. If you're looking to see the names, go to the export function, and you can export your data, which will come up in an Excel spreadsheet, and you'll be able to see the names there. When you export your data, you can either do it by individual sport, or now there's a choice where you can export all your sports.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from George Stovall with University of Virginia.
Hi, this is a question for Maria. Maria, when you went through the import process, I wasn't sure I got it right. When we go to import, if we're going to try to import from the APR system, we just go in there and click the import button, right?
Yes, George. You would go under the import tab, go all the way down, or actually the data collection import tab, go all the way down to the bottom where it says import from APP, ATS, flat file. Click on that, and then a new screen will come up, and there'll actually be a link where it says import from APP, ATS, and you would click that, and the students will import from APP.
And that reporting year at this point really has no function? I mean,
that is correct. The reporting year is actually only for importing a text file. Doesn't affect the APR import.
Oh, I see. And the and you said something about if our data is available through the APR. If we try to import, I assume we'll find out that way if it's not available.
Your data are available. I'm just talking about new institutions to Division I who may not have APR data going back to 2003.
Okay. And so the fact that there are other reporting years that you could select, that would be them for the new institutions to reporting past years. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
That is just solely for institutions using a text file import.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Donna Woodruff with Stony Brook University has our next question.
Hi, this is Nora Galambos with Donna. I have a question about the transfer reporting, and maybe it's because I'm not totally understanding it. I can see two possible scenarios to this. First of all, a student may have a number of years ago gone to school full-time and then floated around in community colleges with low number of credits or taken a year or two off, and now they have not much time left on their six-year graduation rate. On the other hand, a student may have floated around in community colleges first or at other institutions gone taking part-time credits and has been in school for quite a number of years and now goes to school full-time. And now that student, although maybe quite a bit older, now is just starting his clock on his six-year graduation rate. So I'm not sure quite how equitable that is. The other thing is I'm wondering if that's going to have any impact on acceptance to athletic programs of transfer students because of students that have one or the other scenarios, because obviously the second one I mentioned, the student is much older but still has a lot of time left on that six-year graduation rate. So maybe it's that I'm not quite catching something, and maybe you can clarify.
Nora, those are issues that have come up, and we will go back to the committee on this, and Ben can, I'm sure, can confirm that. But, again, a decision had to be made on transfer placement because no one was being consistent throughout the membership. This was the best thought to do so. But we will go back to the committee and look at those scenarios and see if there will be a change possibly or what any relief could be. Ben, you want to add anything?
No. I think we'll put it on the agenda for CAP to look at.
Thank you. As a reminder, that is star one if you have a question or comment. We're now here from Dan Bartholomew with University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I just wanted to, Jeremiah, this may have been a CAP decision, so I just wanted to, if it is, you can certainly let me know that, but I did just want to make a suggestion that whenever the correspondence goes out to the head coaches about logging in to view their scores, that the person who's also in the APP database as the main contact also receive copy of that correspondence, just so that we know that it's gone out. Sometimes, you know, coaches' emails go to their secretaries or, you know, aren't always directly getting to them in a timely fashion, and it would be helpful on our end to know when that correspondence goes out. I know we can check the data right now and so on and so forth, but it would just be helpful for us to know when that correspondence has been sent out.
Yeah, sure. That's I appreciate that suggestion. I think we're definitely part of the point of this call was to let you know that it is coming out soon. We'll certainly work with our IT staff to try and ensure that that we have copied an appropriate person that the head coach is currently from the institution where the head coach is currently employed, trying to track some of the employment changes that have occurred in the last year. Obviously, we are struggling a good bit, but we will we'll be sure to get that notification out there. And then if you all as campus administrators can speak with your coaches in these six identified sports to let them know that they should have received something. And if they hadn't at that point, obviously letting you know where the appropriate place to obtain the request form is. Does that work for you, Dan?
Yeah, no, that's great. And honestly, if you're having difficulties, that may be a reason to copy somebody at the institution other than the coaches at the time the correspondence is sent out, because that way, in case something didn't get somewhere where it needed to go, we can help you to make sure that your correspondence and your contact information is updated.
Absolutely, and I don't know if it's because it's an automated system with the emails and the passwords and such. I don't know if we necessarily will be able to copy on those emails, but we will certainly send out a specific email to let everybody know that the emails have gone out to the head coaches the same day that we send out those emails. That way, you have the opportunity to check with your head coach to see whether or not they received the email.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Jill Shields with Kansas State Athletics has a question.
Thank you. My question has been answered in the discussion previously.
Thank you. We'll hear from Eleanor Swanson with Monmouth University.
Hi, this is a question from Maria DiGiulio. I found this very helpful. One of the things you said was that we can correct the ethnicity, but when I try to do that, it says that it doesn't match the APR, so I'm not sure whether I should wait and put it in with the students that weren't in APR or leave the correction in.
For the ethnicity, you can leave the correction as is.
Okay. Thank you.
As a final reminder, that is star one if you have a question. We'll hear from Joe McMullen with Indiana State University.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. Maria, I have a question for you. I'm sitting here with Angela Garicani from our registrar's office, and it's in regards to adding kids who were not imported from the APP data collection system, and we're looking at the actual Word document, the last paragraph before item number three, where it says to add a student-athlete who is not imported from the APP data collection system and should be included in the GSR cohort, click on the numeric field in the appropriate category, e.g. two-year transfer, and click the Add Student button. Complete the information to add the student to the cohort. Use the Lookup NCAA ID link at the top of the page. It goes on and finishes out the paragraph. There's confusion here in that it sounded like that wasn't the way it was supposed to be done, that it's supposed to be done differently, that it's supposed to be done through the APPR process.
We would prefer that the students be added first to APR and then to GSR, because we want to make sure that the APR is correct as well. The Academic Performance Program collection is correct as well. So we would actually prefer that the students be right and reported in both systems. I guess my biggest concern is if they're not being pulled over from APP, why aren't they? And that would either mean that they were omitted from APP or they were in there incorrectly. And, again, we want to make sure that the data in both systems are correct.
Right.
Right. You're going to have to wait just like you have, like I said, for 20 years. If you have your data and they're incorrect, we do have a long period of time to make corrections in GSR, and that's when we will do so.
Okay. Yeah, I think she was just wanting to do, you know, if she caught something, she just wanted to do it and have it, you know, have it done with and make the correction. But if that's the way it needs to be done, then that's fine.
It really would be preferable. And one thing I want to add that I forgot to say earlier is this is the time that we're going to be correcting the 03 data. What we're going to encourage schools to do is over the summer to check the 04 and future cohorts and make sure that the data are correct there. If you have changes, you can do so during your two-week APR correction time period.
Okay, so Maria?
Yeah.
The reports are due June 1st, so it would be sometime.
No, your data are due June 1st. You have to hit the submit button by June 1st, and then we're going to give probably 4 to 6 weeks afterwards to make corrections.
Well, the only reason I was asked, I wanted to find out about when the changes can be made is because I'm going to be retiring June 4th, so I wanted to make sure that I'm getting this information so that whoever is going to need to add that information in will know that.
You are more than welcome to send me the information before June 1st, and then we can take care of it afterwards.
Thank you so much, Maria. I know we talked yesterday, and thank you again.
Good luck.
Thank you.
We have a question from Lydia Norfleet with Vanderbilt University.
Yes, I haven't read the import-export document in detail, so I apologize in advance if it answers this question. But is it possible it sounds like from Maria's description that if we roll from the APR, we then have to go in and do the final outcome student by student. Is it possible, first of all, did I understand that correctly? And second of all, is it possible to roll the data from the APR and to import the final outcome alone?
Lydia, it's Maria. No, not yet. You are correct. Each individual student has to have their final outcome done individually. This is the first year for the program. We wanted to make sure everything, the import was more important. It was the most important piece of the rollover. As far as the final outcome goes, the only true outcome that we could put in there would be graduated. And that's already on our list to see about programming for next year. We can't have the allowable exclusions rolled over because, again, there is a difference between the allowable exclusions in APR versus the allowable exclusions in GSR. So the only true outcome that could be imported over would be the graduated, and we are looking into that for next year. But this year, we wanted to make sure everybody went in and updated the outcome for each individual student.
All right. Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Dee Menzies with University of Colorado in Boulder.
Hello. I was just curious on the GSR report if the student body graduation rate and the enrollment data portions will be set up to do an ASCII submission in the future.
I would love to say yes for sure. It's already on my list to ask for in the future. I can't guarantee that, but I'm hoping so eventually.
Thank you.
And we have a question from George Stovall with University of Virginia.
Hi, Maria. It's me again. One thing I wanted to verify, if we wait till after June 1st and we make changes into the APR and then after that roll the data back into the GRS, I just wanted to confirm that the outcome information that we had in there previously will remain for those people that we're pulling forward again.
If you do a subsequent import, George, nothing that has been amended manually in the system will be affected.
Okay, so it'll remain.
Yes.
Okay, good, thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. I want to turn the conference over to Ms. Nguyen for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you for attending the conference call this afternoon. As we mentioned before, if you have any questions about the head coach's APR, feel free to contact Jeremiah Carter, and then for GSR, Maria or myself. I would note that this teleconference is being recorded and will be posted. Once we receive it, we will post it on LSDVI as well as on the CAP website. Again, thank you for joining us, and have a good day.
This does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation, and have a nice day.